Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 202 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I am Al. I'm joined this evening by Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. And we are not joined by Mike, sadly. It's I was getting used to him being here, but he's
not. I know. He was getting nice and cosy, but last minute he messaged me to say he had a very exciting opportunity that he could not pass down. He is currently ghost hunting in a mansion in deepest, darkest rural Scotland. According to him, he claims he's searching for the spirit of Haggis McJockface. This guy is sort of a tribal clan leader. He's travelled back from the year 5243, and he's now trying to haunt the last Duke of Loch Albert. So, I mean, this is Mike. I wish him best of luck with his endeavours, frankly.
Absolutely. I did have a wee nosy to see if I could find him, but I just found Nessie, so it's kind of a lost cause at that point. So, you know, we'll have to soldier on ourselves.
If you found Nessie, you know, you'd just be like the probably the most famous person in the world if you actually found and could prove that you found Nessie. Can you imagine that? That would just be amazing.
Yeah, you know, I'm like fully waiting for like, you know, a couple, like hundreds of years in the future, you know, just scientists to look back at us and be like, yous are idiots. You didn't like look in this way, or yous just left this animal to go extinct because yous are idiots.
Yeah, would you want to be famous for finding Nessie? Would you want that kind of attention? Because you're going to get hounded by some very interesting people as well as constantly from media outlets for the rest of your life. Would you want that pressure?
Yeah, TED Talks. Hell yeah. Go ahead, do a whole bunch of talks, go to universities, travel a little, maybe use it as a platform to kind of leapfrog into something else. I'm down for it.
Cool. Well, very good. I wish you the best of your luck in your endeavours as well. But that's not why we're here. We're supposed to be talking about video games. So, Anton, what have you been playing this week?
Well, on my adventures in the Highlands looking for Mike, I did not have internet this week, so I didn't take my Switch this week. So, you know, I've been playing a lot of online video games on the Switch, which has been Tetris and Splatoon. I did do a teensy bit before I went, but I've just been trucking on with Spider-Man Miles Morales as well as Away. How about yourself? Have you been upholding the Nintendo Switch of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast?
I took my Switch with me. I was way down in the sort of Fife area and down in Edinburgh actually at the weekend and stayed overnight in a hotel. I took my Switch all the way with me, went all the way to Edinburgh and back up, and it didn't come out of its case. I have not turned it on all week, but I had the best of intentions. I just ended up being so incredibly full that I pretty much couldn't move, let alone think about playing a video game. I just kind of crawled into bed and passed out and snored a lot because I ate so much food. So no, I've let the side down again. This is like 2 weeks in a row when I've actually not played the Switch, which is frankly embarrassing.
Like, it really makes me wish we still had Street Pass, because Street Pass was brilliant that, you know, if you took your 3DS out with you and you didn't find the time to play games, you at least got like the tokens or the rewards for having it with you. It kind of incentivized that even if you were uncertain if you would have the time to play. Man, I miss it.
That's something I never experienced because I never had a 3DS or a DS of any description, to be fair. But that doesn't look like it was very cool and kind of innovative system. It's a really good way to encourage people to take the device out with them.
Yeah, similarly, the PS Vita had one, but it was a little less useful as the PS Vita sold as well as PS Vita.
Can I just take a moment just to step away from this conversation and compliment your t-shirt, by the way? Oh, do you want to tell people what's on your t-shirt?
Why, thank you. I am sporting a rather beautiful and very, you know, economical duck hunt t-shirt from the establishment known as Primark. It is yeah, classic. What can I say?
I just love the fact it's got duck hunt. That is so cool. I'm impressed. Good man. Well done. And you pull it off with such amazing aplomb.
Oh, why, thank you. I appreciate it muchly. And I think if you want more random nonsense, as we're very prone to, best place to head is our Patreon. You can learn more about that at nsukp.co.uk. We do a bonus show called Last Call, where we talk about absolutely nothing, such as random hypotheticals. And we also have the Discord. You get the main show without advertisements. You also get access to live recordings like we're doing right now. You get tons of stuff on the Patreon.
And you get to find out when various people got monumental life events, which is cool because we've had some awesome news appearing in the Discord recently. There's been children, there's been, I'm pretty sure there's probably been engagements, there's been people finishing university, and everyone just so supportive. It's like, I love our Discord so much. I really love it. So you need to come and join us. Become a Patreon. Right, we should probably talk about some video game news because really that's what, well, that's what you're here for, isn't it? This is why we are in your ears. You're listening to us to learn about video games news on the Nintendo Switch. So, Anton, I think we should jump into the news.
Absolutely.
Tell us the people want to know.
First up, let's talk about Sega. Let's not talk about Nintendo. Let's talk about Sega. Actually, loosely adjacent because it's Sega on Nintendo. We have got some new Sega Genesis games dropping on the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack, which is just such a mouthful. They need a better name for that. We're getting Street Fighter 2 Special Champion Edition, Pulse Man, Kid Chameleon and Flicky. They're all coming to Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack, and I gotta say, I don't care. Yeah, I know, I should do. I really should. Anton, you're giving me that look. Tell me why I should care.
These are some good games. But what I think is really good is I think there's a lot of people who didn't grow up with Sega because they're playing a Nintendo console right now. You know, it happened that way for a reason. But haven't grown up with Sega and they never touched the Sega Mega Drive / Sega Genesis app. So it's great that they've got Street Fighter in there, as that's a named IP that people outside of the Segaverse will enjoy. But to be honest, all that's in here is pretty good. Flicky is a good arcade game. It was a little bit dated by the time the Mega Drive came out, but what's an extra 5 years worth of dated now at this point? So it's still a good game. Pulse Man is, to be honest, surprising.
It's early Pokemon, isn't it? Really, that's what Pulse Man is. It's Game Freak.
True, it is made by Game Freak, and to be honest, I'm very surprised they didn't have a seizure warning on this one.
Oh boy, that was painful. I was watching the release of that, and just my brain wanted to explode. Everything is flashing in every direction, and I've not got epilepsy or anything, and even I was sitting there going, make it stop.
And yeah, it's a lot. And then Kid Chameleon is a classic, an underrated one. But overall, these are some decent cuts from the Mega Drive library. And it's nice to see a kind of third-party Capcom game in there. It's a nice breath of fresh air.
I gotta love about Street Fighter 2. In my head, it is still the definitive Street Fighter. I know we've had really, really good ones ever since, but Street Fighter 2, specifically terrible, but I'm not going to split hairs here, was what I grew up with. That was my introduction to Street Fighter. That was the game I played a lot of and I knew how to win in. And all the rest of them since, they've just never lived up to that same benchmark in my nostalgic brain.
Yeah, that's quite fair. And to be honest, it's just nice to have a nice, simple version of Street Fighter. You know, I think paying the full money for the full collection of like every single version known to man, you just need one Street Fighter 2.
Exactly. That's it. All right. Let's move on and talk about another announcement. This one is coming from publisher Innin Games, who are basically announcing M2 and Taito's announcement of, because that's the way publishing works in this world, Raystorm X Ray Crisis HD Collection for Nintendo Switch. Basically, shmups, Anton.
Yeah, these are classics. They are simple, you know, they're of the kind of Saturn PS1 era, so they're not really remastered, but they are HD in quotes. These are classics. Taito do brilliant games. M2 are some of the best in the business when it comes to real old school ports. Like, they were doing a bunch of the Sega ports for a bit, like that Virtual Racer one. M2 knows how to port a game. At $34.99, this is definitely for hardcore collectors, especially when we have so many incredible shoot-em-ups on Nintendo Switch. But more the merrier, let's get them all on Nintendo Switch. This is the console to be at.
Yeah, we're getting some really interesting old games coming out now. Some of the stuff that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be appearing on these consoles. I mean, I would never have thought these would appear here, but it's not a bad thing we've got them, I guess. We're fleshing out a library with some pretty good content. And as you say, hopefully it's been ported relatively well because it's a good team behind it. So keep your eye out for it coming down in a sale. Don't buy it at full price. Next up, our friend Shigeru. You gotta love Shigeru Miyamoto. He's just wonderful. And he's doing his what he does best, teasing people without really teasing them. He has a way. He can say things in a way that nobody else can, where he pretty much says nothing and everyone gets really excited. So this week he's been getting everybody all afluster by teasing additional movie franchises. He said, Nintendo is like a talent agency. We have plenty of other entertainers. There are many possible ways we could go, such as using characters that would be fit for movies or very well-known characters. He said nothing at all there, and everyone is so excited at the possibilities that you and I have geeked out over the last couple of weeks anyway, speculating what other IPs could make their way onto the silver screen, or indeed the small screen, courtesy of Nintendo's newest entertainment push.
You know, there's going to be so much hype for the first non-Mario movie coming out of Nintendo, and it's probably just going to be like the Mario Kart movie, or Donkey Kong. You know, what, you know, everybody wants Zelda, Metroid, it's going to be like close to home, and it's going to spread out.
The guy does beg the question, if you had to put your money on one, would it be Zelda or will it be Donkey Kong? It's going to be one of those two. You can pretty much guarantee it.
I think it's Donkey Kong. I think that it's very tied in. I think if it's not getting a movie, it will get like a TV spin-off or something like that.
Yeah, particularly the fact we know there's a Donkey Kong new free world or open world game coming. We know we're getting that. It's been talked about for ages. The game is coming. There's going to be a tie-in movie, isn't there? This is going to be the way.
Indeed, and I think it will be almost like a little bit of a test for Nintendo if doing a tie-in, like if they can do a AAA tie-in, a AAA movie at the same time. Because it's never quite lined up that way. You know, it's either been one or the other has dropped the ball. Could Nintendo do it? It's been long enough for Donkey Kong in the 3D space that this could be like a soft reboot for the Donkey Kong character in the way that they couldn't soft reboot Mario in the video game space.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
There's a whole lot of opportunity. I would dearly love it to be a Zelda movie that came out, but it's just not going to happen. It's going to be Conky Dong, guaranteed. Okay, let's move on, because the next story is a slightly different direction. Nintendo have scored a victory against D-Storage, the company behind onefitcheer.com. The site hosted basically illegal copies of Nintendo games, and then they didn't take them down when they were asked to. So a court has ordered D-Storage to pay Nintendo €442,750 in damages, plus €25,000 in legal fees and block access to the pirated content. You guys are naughty.
Yeah, you know, quite often when we have these stories of Nintendo just smashing the DMCA takedowns all around, I feel sorry. But in this case, I kind of feel like they were sat in the crosshairs and they looked at the red laser and they didn't move. It's unfortunate.
It is. I'm actually kind of surprised that the damages were as little as €442,000. I'm guessing that means it probably wasn't downloaded that often. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a significant number. But I was kind of expecting it to be up in the millions kind of level for the value of piracy that I would have assumed would have been happening. Clearly, people aren't pirating as much as I thought they were, or at least not from that particular one site.
Yeah, especially considering some of the lawsuits that we've had in the past, some of which we'll be touching on later in the show. It's actually a little bit modest, especially when it's a kind of company in this case and not an individual.
Yeah, I do wonder, I didn't actually look up which court tried this. I guess if this was in America, it would have been huge sums, but the fact that the penalties are in euros would suggest it's been tried somewhere in Europe, where we do tend to have a slightly more restrained legal damages system.
Indeed. So, you know, hopefully Nintendo can, you know, get some more games on Nintendo Switch Online so less people are pirating.
Exactly. Okay, support for the Nintendo Switch version of Paladins is ending in June. Well, that's a shame, because I quite like Paladins.
Yeah, it's a bit of a rough week to be a high-res studios gamer on Nintendo Switch following the shutdown of, I believe it was Rogue Company last week. And now we've got Paladins. It's not going away on other consoles, but it's sad to see it. It's a shame. You know, there's, you know, esports shooters are just, you know, some people's only game. They'll just pick one and they'll stick with it. So there will be people that are stuck with Paladins and they won't play anything else. Fortunately, you can transfer your progress to another platform, so it's not all lost, but it's sad nonetheless, because, you know, for the people that are playing Paladins, that's a huge loss.
You know, in all honesty, I've got Paladins, and I enjoyed playing Paladins for about the week that I played it, and I've not gone back to it. For no good reason. It was actually a very good game. Mike thoroughly raved about it, and to the point where I actually purchased an expansion pack for it. So, I mean, I kind of invested it in that very short space of time that I played it for, and this never went back. But I have a theory. I think I know where all the gamers have gone. I think why nobody's playing Paladins, because everybody's playing Minecraft Legends, apparently. On the Switch, 76% of Minecraft Legends sales are on the Switch. That's an insane number. Why is it doing so well on the Switch, Anton?
Yeah, this is absolutely remarkable. You know, one thing it isn't taking into these numbers is the prevalence of Xbox Game Pass, which will probably be bolstering up Xbox numbers if they were included. But nevertheless, it's about, I think, 5 to 7% for each of the PlayStations 3 and 5 each. And then the rest is kind of Xbox sales. So overall, that is a huge margin for Nintendo, and I couldn't find formal numbers on it. Apparently, a huge proportion of these numbers as well are physical. So it's really painting a very unique position of the Nintendo gamer in comparison to the other two, you know, platform holders. I imagine the kids-friendly aspect of Minecraft is probably helping in this instance. I imagine if there's anybody that's got an Xbox, they're probably just doing it on Game Pass. That'll be contributing it. But once again, Nintendo is, at the end of the day, the largest console platform right now.
It is quite staggering, and I think you're probably right there. My son, he started saying he wants Minecraft Legends. If he gets it, he's going to get it on the iPad, because he games on the iPad. That's his thing. We have the one Switch in the house. He doesn't really play it. He's got a Switch game. He bought Pokemon Sword and Shield on it for his birthday a couple of years ago, and he's never really played it much. He just sticks to his iPad. But I can see absolutely why Minecraft Legends would do so well on the Switch, because a lot of people bought that console for kids. And I can also see why the physical is doing well, because it's a good price point that people buy it for kids' presents. Your aunt and your uncles, who, I don't know, they spend, I don't know, 20 quid or whatever, chuck you that kind of game. That's in that price point. So it's a really, really good one for just fitting perfectly in and just making the Switch a natural home for that game. It's cool. What I would like to know is, did those sales numbers take into account PC gaming and mobile gaming as well, or is this just console numbers?
Yeah, so I believe Minecraft Legends is just on consoles at the moment. Maybe PC, but I don't think it's on mobile, as I know Dungeons was not available on mobile.
Interesting. I know it gets advertised to him a lot on his iPad, so I presume it was available on the iPad. Don't know. Need to go and look at that now.
Much to ponder.
Anyway. Much to ponder. Let's talk about the US Federal Trade Commission instead, because they are basically our next topic. It's a really good thing to do. So they have asked Nintendo of America's Vice President of Publishing or Publisher and Developer Relations, a chap called Steve Singer, to give them up to 7 hours of testimony regarding Microsoft's Activision Blizzard King acquisition. Wow. Why? What's the context here, Anton? We obviously know that this is going on. There's a lot of talk in the industry about whether it will actually happen or not. Why are they inviting Nintendo along?
Well, right now, it is very much Microsoft versus Sony. Sony does not want this deal to go through with a particular stamp put on the Call of Duty and how damaging not having Call of Duty on PlayStation would be. Microsoft did offer PlayStation a 10-year deal to get Call of Duty, and PlayStation declined this, thinking it would force the deal through, and then after that 10 years is up, yoink, Call of Duty would be gone. And making some deal happen and showing that Microsoft's not a monopoly, Microsoft offered the same deal to Nintendo. Nintendo accepted this deal, and, you know, basically I think what this testimony will be about is basically making sure that there's not any secret hidden sauce in of this contract deal that's kind of making it unfair to Sony somehow. It's going to be an interesting one, and it also kind of links in nicely with the previous story, because basically the whole thing about this is Microsoft's trying to be as less as a monopoly as possible. So they've been making deals to other streaming services to get some Microsoft games on it so they don't have a monopoly in streaming. There's a whole bunch of deals to basically make Microsoft look like the good guy to all of the legal authorities around the world. I could see them using the success of Minecraft on third parties. They've owned Mojang since 2014, so these games have been developed much after the acquisition, of proof that Microsoft can, in quote, be a good guy with other players. But it's also going to be interesting, as once we get this testimony, we're going to be getting a lot of juicy details of what Call of Duty is going to look like on Nintendo Switch, Al.
Yeah, and we're all very keen to find out how that's going to look. I'm still firmly of the opinion it's going to be a cloud version, because I can't see any way that isn't. But who knows? There are many different ways that this could go. And yeah, I think Microsoft have done a pretty good job. I've said for a while, and I think it'd be hard to argue that they are trying to become platform agnostic. They almost want to be more about delivering Game Pass and their software than they really want to be selling Xboxes. I've had that impression for quite some time, and it's the way they took Windows. They don't make computers, well, they do make computers, they make Surface and things like that, but they also just provide their software to a whole lot of other manufacturers out there. Heck, you could even run Windows on a Mac until very recently, and that's only because Apple went and changed their silicon. So I think Microsoft have demonstrated quite well that they can play well with others, and I don't see Sony managing to scupper this deal. Who knows? There's so many complicated, intricate arguments that could end up scuppering this whole thing. But it's fascinating. I can't wait to see how this goes. But 7 hours of testimony, there's a lot can come out in 7 hours.
Absolutely. And it makes me wonder how much information Nintendo can kind of, you know, block or hide. Because there may be stuff in here that, you know, Nintendo didn't want to get out there. There might be parts of this deal, it's like, oh, this will be for the next generation Switch. Or, you know, this deal starts, you know, 5 years down the line once there's a Switch capable. Who knows? It might talk about, you know, different levels of integration between, you know, Microsoft's Xbox Live and all that sort of stuff, and, you know, using that on the Nintendo platform. There could be wonderful or weird things in here. Who knows?
Yeah, come on, lawyers, dig nice and deep. Make it as juicy as possible for us, please. Okay, let's talk about something else that did happen this week. And it's kind of embarrassing that neither Anton nor I actually gave it any attention at the time it happened. Mostly because I was in an aeroplane, and I can't remember what you said you were doing, but we both missed the Indie World Showcase. We knew it was on, but we both just caught up on it not long before the show, which is kind of embarrassing, Anton. But there was an Indie World Showcase.
Indeed, and watched it after the fact, after I got back from the Highlands and tried to discover Mike. He's still out there somewhere, but managed to catch up on it, and we've got a lot to cover this week.
We do, so let's jump straight in and start at the beginning. So Meowza Games showcased Miniko's Night Market for Nintendo Switch, being published by Humble Games. It's an adventure merchant simulator coming out on the 26th of September. It looked quite cute, but I didn't really figure out actually what it was. The beginning I went, oh no, it's another farming simulator, because they focused a lot on farming. But there were also cats, from memory. What do you make?
Yeah, so it's inspired by Japanese kind of markets, and it's very much thrifting the video game. Just 100% crafting. So if you want to get tons of stuff, combine them, upcycle, and then sell and trade and play the money game, you know, it's a very cute game, but basically it's the stonk market in real life.
The stonk market. Okay, Pythia Games then showcased My Time at Sandrock for the Nintendo Switch, being published by PM Studios. This one basically is a farming life sim, coming out in summer 2023. It's a sequel to My Time at what was the previous
Porta?
One called again?
Porta?
Portis? Something like that. Either way, it was a good, very well-received game at the time. We're now getting a sequel to it, and the developers look very happy about it. The game looks quite nice. What did you reckon?
You know, it is definitely
Porsche. My time at Porsche. That's what it's called.
There you are. It's definitely a corroded genre. However, this one is very, very polished. You know, the predecessor was a well-regarded game, and this game looks substantially more polished than that. I also quite like putting it in a slightly more deserty context, makes it stand out a little compared to some of its farming contemporaries. I think this one looks solid. It's just going to have to fight to stick out.
Yeah, I kind of agree, to be honest. There's not really much more I can say about that, but probably worth a loop, because as I said, the last one was very good. Next up, we had Overcooked 2.5. No, it's not Overcooked 2.5. It's a game called Plate Up for Nintendo Switch, published by Yogscast Games. It's a roguelike co-op restaurant management game coming out in October, and it basically is just Overcooked, but you get to set out your kitchen, none of which is new, because we've seen games doing all of the bits in here before. The only bit I thought was slightly unique was the addition of automation, so you could buy and upgrade your equipment to automate some of your workflows. That was kind of cool, but again, not new. We've seen many games doing this before. Kind of uninspiring, Anton.
This is where I'm going to be the contrarian. This is one I've played a lot of on Steam, and I think it is one of the best, or the best, Overcooked clone. I think we have a lot of them where they just reskin it and they just put it in a different context. This one adds in the roguelike elements, which, true, have not been done before, but I think they do it incredibly streamlined. It is a very, very tidy evolution of the Overcooked formula. It, you know, really incentivizes playing the long game. It builds upon itself. I found this just a really solid evolution and departure from what has been done before. And yeah, highly recommend this one when it comes out on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm really glad you played that, because I was totally down on this, but you've changed my opinion. I'm now thinking, oh, well, if Anton says it's good, then it'll be worth a look. And that's, if that comes from personal experience, that's, that, there's a word, there's a phrase, that's something money with me, that water, there's a phrase, Anton, it's not coming to mind.
It's okay. I'm touched that you trust my opinion here.
Holds water with me. There you go. That's the phrase my brain would not extract. Okay, next up, more cats. Monster Couch showcased Quilts and Cats of Calico for the Nintendo Switch. It's self-published, a digital adaptation of the puzzle board game for 1 to 4 players coming out in autumn of 2023. Just many cats and many quilting things. And I mean, I have looked at their board game and I've played it before. I went, that looks complicated. But I've got to say, the video game made it look a little bit more accessible. And as much as I'm not a cat person, the game did look quite good.
Indeed. It is, at the end of the day, a digital board game. So it'll come down to price at this point for whether or not it's worth picking up, because it's, you know, just the board game digitally. They haven't done any kind of shenanigans like Monopoly Madness to kind of adapt to the nature of a video game. But, you know, really nice to have. It's nice to have a couple of these on your like eShop library, so you can just, you know, get stranded somewhere, whip out some digital board games. It'll be good. And it's not one I'm particularly familiar with. So if you've played it, do let us know.
Yeah, it has a good reputation in the real world. Let's see if that translates to the digital world. Coming up next, we then got Brace Yourself Games and TikTok Games showcasing Rift of the Necrodancer on Nintendo Switch. This one has been published by Brace Yourself Games. It's a story-driven rhythm game coming out in 2023 in, funnily enough, the same world as Crypt of the Necrodancer, but this one is less of a sort of top-down adventure and more of a traditional rhythm game of hit the right button at the right time as things scroll down a screen and other stuff. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, I think you're right in the money. You know, I'm surprisingly taken by this game. I really wanted to love Crypt of the Necrodancer, but it just didn't quite click for me. This one has got Rhythm Paradise, WarioWare written all over it. It's got that just kind of music minigame with these animations. It's very charming. It's a lot more lighthearted than I would have pictured for Crypt of the Necrodancer, but, you know, that's the pixel art and the way I had interpreted it. But I really like what they've done here. It's got nice art. The gameplay looks fun. They look to be doing a bunch of novel, unique minigames with its rhythm aspects. And then I think taking this Rhythm Paradise formula and then combining it with a story has potential.
It does look cool. I'm not going to lie. It looks cool. I've always had a soft spot for this kind of game, and it's possibly the first, I'm going to say, Necro Dancer game I might actually be tempted to pick up, because before they've never interested me. This one does look really cool. I like their art style as well. Okay, then we got a little, wasn't really a montage, but it was a DLC section, so I'm just going to rattle through all of them, and then you can tell me what, if anything, was of interest to you. So Max Inferno showcased a Little to the Left Cupboards and Drawers DLC for the Switch, published by Secret Mode, cozy organisational game add-on coming out in June 2023. It was a paid-for one, that one, I think, from the top of my head. Vine showcased Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon Puzzler Pack DLC, published by Yacht Club Games. This free DLC contains two new playable characters, unique quandary challenges to put your puzzle prowess to the test, nifty new relics to collect, robust run modifiers, and expansive new areas to explore come out in spring. And Massive Monster showcased Cult of the Lamb, Relics of the Old Faith update for Nintendo Switch, published by Devolver Digital. Again, new items, new quests, permadeath, gauntlet, and boss rush mode, and I think that was a free update as well. What are you most excited about in that little group?
Kind of on two fronts. I thought the Cupboards and Drawers DLC looked very great. A good reminder that I haven't played A Little to the Left yet. I really need to get on that one, because it does look like a game that's up my alley. But for me, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon Puzzler Pack DLC, well, I just trust them a lot with that one, because Yacht Club Games, when they do a DLC, they do a DLC, and then it's free. Like, they always knock it out of the park and give it away for free. It's a horrible business model, but I like it as a consumer. So shout out Yacht Club Games, because I'm sure this is going to be a good one.
It's funny, because the one that stood out to me most was the Cult of the Lambs one. So between the two of us, we've covered all three games. I still haven't played it, but Cult of the Lamb just looked like such a good, fun, tongue-in-cheek, stupid game, and I'm drawn to it. And the fact we're getting more DLC to add to that crazy world just makes me happy. It just does.
Yeah, I've got some friends that have been playing it, and they all absolutely adore it. It's seemingly got a little bit for everybody.
Excellent. We then got introduced to Billy Basso. I now really, really like Billy Basso, developer behind a game called Animal Well for the Switch, being published by Big Mode, an action puzzle Metroidvania coming out in 2024 at some point. The game itself, I'm not so sure about the game. It looks like a lot of effort has gone into it. It looks like it's a very well-crafted game, but at the same time, the opening sequence had a character jumping into the darkness and landing on random platforms that you couldn't see, and already I went, nope, nope, that's not for me, nope.
Yeah, this one is remarkable. It's got an incredibly simple art style. However, it's clearly very detailed. You know, the shapes are simple, but are very well animated. This is getting published by the YouTuber Video Game Donkey's Big Mode Publishing Company. And I don't play the most indie games. However, I have played a lot of the ones Video Game Donkey has recommended. So the fact that he's then publishing this title really has me thinking I need to give this one a look. You know, some of my favorite indie games are ones that I might have walked past, and this has been the YouTuber that has kind of pointed me in the right direction. I picked them up, you know, from genres I wouldn't normally play. So his involvement with this game for me personally has got me very, very interested.
That's awesome. It's interesting you describe it as a simple aesthetic, because I actually thought it was really complicated. It was very simply done. I mean, I'm going to say it's pixel art, but it's not really pixel art. It's like watching something on a very old CRT, but if it was made now and looked awesome, because it's got that kind of weird grainy line effect of a CRT, but with depth of colours and lighting and all kinds of interesting things going on. And it's minimalist, but it's not like black and white. There's a lot of colour and depth and things going on. It's just so clever. I love the aesthetic of this game. I can't think of another game that looks like it. There's nothing I can compare it to and go, it looks like... Can you think of anything you've seen that looks like this?
Oh, definitely not. It's very, very unique. You know, fundamentally, there's, you know, it is minimalist, I should say, but they've taken it very, very, very far. And from what I recall, I believe it's like something like you can do it pacifist. Like, I'm very interested to see what is in here and just what mysteries it holds. Because it's got a very mysterious world, which lends itself well to a Metroidvania at the end of the day.
Next up, we got what I'm not sure may have been my highlight, but I'm really not sure, because there were some actually some stonkingly good games in this indie world showcase. But the next one they showed us was Bad Seed, who showcased Crime O'Clock for the Nintendo Switch. Not the greatest name in the world, but it being published by Just for Games, it's what you've described it here as a hidden object puzzle game with time travel, coming out on the 30th of June. And when I looked at this, I was just blown away by these really detailed, kind of like a Where's Wally drawing that you sort of zoom in and out of and find all these clues and solve puzzles and problems across time. It just looked really complicated, but I suspect is also quite a simple game mechanic, so it's fun. It just, this one just tickled me pink. I can't wait for this to come out, Anton.
Similarly, I think this is going to be an excellent title. You know, the kind of hidden object genre is one I've seen take off on Steam with like 101 Cats and like all these different games where it's basically Where's Wally, but digital. And there's many people that love them. It's a genre that lends itself well to becoming a video game. However, what they've done here with Crime O'Clock is elevate that genre of just finding things in these big old, you know, massive, very detailed orientated screens, combine it with time travel, and they've gamified an already existing game, which is exactly what you're doing. That is a recipe for fun. And, you know, I think it's going to be just a fun and exciting way to, you know, think about a video game differently. There's not anything doing what this game is quite doing here.
It's unique. It's exactly what you want from an indie showcase. You can look at something and go, I've not seen that before, which is just fantastic, because up until this point in the direct, nothing was really going on. I've not seen that before. It might be a slight twist, but this is new. I get very excited about new. You can probably hear it. I'm really quite excited about this one coming out. Then we got Rain Games, who they may sound familiar because they made Teslagrad, which I think we've talked about on the show a year or two ago. So they announced Teslagrad 2 coming out for the Switch, being published by Modus Games, a steampunk meets Norse adventure, accompanied by orchestral soundtracks, out now for $16.75. But they also announced Teslagrad Remastered for the Switch, also published by Modus Games. And they basically, wow, increased the visuals and just added a few extra mechanics and bits and pieces, and both games are looking really, really good. I can't knock this in any way, shape or form. Can you?
No, this is absolutely brilliant. Teslagrad, you know, I believe it was back in at least the Wii U era, one of the just an absolutely beloved title. You know, the magnet abilities and being able to control stuff that way was just beloved. And what I really like here is they've made this new game and they've basically taken the paint that they've made this new game with and just applied it to the last game, making them kind of one cohesive experience. Teslagrad 2 has been in development for years and years and years. It was almost like one of these indie games that you were like, oh, default, that came out already. But we've finally got here, and we've got the remaster, because it is a game that, to be honest, for an indie game, came out a millennium ago. So it's nice to have this remaster here, and to be able to play them all on Nintendo Switch in their best way.
Absolutely. So that was a cool game. I said before that Crime O'Clock was one of my highlights, but I couldn't decide what my highlight was. This next one was another one of my highlights, because Asymmetric then suddenly popped up, showcasing Shadows Over Loathing for the Nintendo Switch, published by themselves, and it's another stick-figure comedy-adventure RPG full of mobsters, monsters, and mysteries, and basically, if you played West of Loathing and loved it, you're going to love this too. And Mike, for ages, badgered me to play West of Loathing, and it has been on my I need to buy that list since pretty much it came out, and I still not bought it. But I really, really need to if I'm not getting a sequel, because it just looks so good!
Yeah, this one does look like it's taken everything that came before, putting it in a new world, and just elevating it once again. And similarly, it really makes me wish I had played the original.
We have both failed, but I don't know about you. I do intend to set that right. I'm going to go and buy the original, and I'm going to play it. It's going to happen.
I think for me, it's going to be in the wish list. I'm thinking this is when I get it dirt cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be just sales on all the time. It's probably super cheap right now. We just need to get Mike on to go and tell us what deals of the week, and specifically go look for that one. Next up, the Game Kitchen showcased Blasphemous 2 for the Nintendo Switch, published by Team 17, a horror-inspired side-scrolling Metroidvania coming out in summer of 2023. At this point, I'm not going to lie, I slightly lost interest because it's not my kind of game. Do you have anything to add to this in the slightest?
Yeah, it's familiar. You know, it looks really, really solidly well done. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, so it's kind of got the gameplay of Metroid with the visual aesthetic of Castlevania. Oh, that's a Metroidvania. They've just made a Metroidvania. I'm sure it's brilliant. People like Blasphemous 1, but as an outsider, it's not pulling in any new threads that is kind of shaking it up for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's not dwell on it. Instead, let's dwell on the third awesome pillar of the Direct for me, which was, Night School showcased Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals, Nintendo Switch. Now, this isn't really new. We knew this was coming. This has been mentioned a couple times in Directs. This one has been published by Netflix, which I think is just awesome in itself. A supernatural thriller coming out the 12th of July, $17.99 with 25% off from pre-order discounts. And the game just looks fantastic. I love the art style. I love the concept. I love everything about this.
Indeed. And what I'm very, very impressed by is the skeleton of this game is very much an indie skeleton. You know, it plays like an indie game. However, they seemingly have very cinematic moments happening here. And I'm really hoping that this is just a showcase piece for what Netflix is going to try and do in video games. You know, this is a real good moment for, I think, Netflix to come in here and be like, this is what we stand for in this space. And, you know, Oxenfree was a brilliant game. The kind of involved marketing they did with teasing this game in of the first game via updates was genius in of itself. And I'm just thinking this could be really, really exceptional title right here.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism around this, and I really hope it justifies it. And then we finish off with a montage, because everybody loves a montage. So in the montage, we got Paper Trail, Little Kitty Big City, Chance of Senar, Brotato, Escape Academy the Complete Edition, Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, and Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Well, we've talked about Cyberfunk. We've talked about the Bomb Rush a couple of times in the past, and I think there's a little bit of concern that it might kind of accidentally fall by the wayside because we might get a remaster of Radio City. It's not called Radio City. What's it called?
Jet Set Radio.
That's the one. Yes, Jet Set Radio. But there are some cool things in there. There were more cats. This was the cat direct. There were just cats everywhere in this one. It's not direct. It's an Indie World Showcase, Al. Was there anything that grabbed your attention in that little montage?
I think Chance of Senar looked quite good. It was kind of point and click with little puzzles going along, but had a very novel art style. Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach is a big title. You know, we knew about it already. It's nice to see it. And it's nice that Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is finally coming out. You know, we've had a lot of these games that are inspired by Sega classics, a la, you know, that cheap Crazy Taxi clone. I'm hoping this one doesn't fall into that clone bin and is able to stand up strong, because it's been in development for absolutely forever. And, you know, this is a moment for it to, you know, make it count.
Absolutely. It was an interesting little one. Normally in the montages, there's always something that grips me. And this one, there wasn't really anything that I loved. The closest I can say to being interesting was the Chance of Senar. It did look good, but it kind of reminded me of a kind of game I would have played on the PC, I don't know, decade ago, 15 years ago. Obviously, it wouldn't have looked quite as pretty as now, but it just, I don't know, nothing in here really grabbed my attention. But there were so many highs before it. I think I was just already giddy, and so that's probably why. So, overall, give me a mark out of 10 for this showcase.
To be honest, I think I'm going to go for an 8. This was a really, really solid Indie World Showcase. You know, indie showcases always have the struggle of, you know, these are a lot of very, very niche titles. However, I think they did a solid job here of, you know, what's on the market right now, having some fairly high tier stuff that's kind of appealing to a lot of different gamers, which when it is a Nintendo platform, you kind of want it to appeal to a lot of people. So I think they did a good collection here. There isn't one in here that's like, I need to get that like immediately. There's a lot of games I'm excited for in here, but there's not like, you know, oh my God, mind blown moment for me personally. But I'm very happy. I'm intrigued by a lot of games that I was familiar with, a lot of games I wasn't familiar with. They did good now. How about yourself?
I would have given it an 8 because generally I thought it was quite good, but I'm actually going to bump it up to a 9 purely on the basis of Crime O'Clock, because there were a lot of really good games in there, and some of the ones I was most excited about were all sequels to things, and I grumped about the last actual direct being all sequels and remasters and just recycling everything, and this one is kind of building on the past as well. There's a lot of recycled IP going on here. But then throwing that Crime O'Clock in there was just enough for me to go, that's new, and that's exciting, and I like it, and I'm actually going to give it a 9. I never give indie showcases 9s. The indie showcases never really float my boat in the same way the main directs do, but this one, I think, was a massive surprise for me. I normally come away from these feeling a bit down, and I came away from this one feeling really excited, so it was a good one.
I concur. I think they knocked out of the park here.
Well done, Nintendo. And your partners. Good job. Okay, let's jump head first actually into turbo mode, because we are fast running out of time and we've still got an awful lot to get through, Anton. We've been recording for 45 minutes now, believe it or not. So I will romp through these and then you can pick out whichever little topics you feel like elaborating on. So, turbo mode. Sobel joins the Pokemon Build-A-Bear range. Sega is to acquire Rovio Entertainment for 706 million euros. Its goal is to enhance its mobile gaming capabilities, apparently. YouTube animators Chani and Kimberly have created a Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom commercial for the Nintendo Game Boy Color. We're definitely talking about that one. Nintendo has uploaded 3 30-second ad spots for The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Nintendo has shared key art for The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Aya Nishitani, I think is how you pronounce it, has shared that in the 1980s, the then director of Nintendo wanted to adapt the Megami Tensei trilogy of novels into video games, but there was a belief at Nintendo at the time that a demon summoning game could not be released under the Nintendo brand. Kiji Inoue-Fune is producing the upcoming Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time. Production has started on Knuckles, a spin-off of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie franchise, and the next Pokemon and Scarlet Violet Terra Raid Battle event has been announced. It's focusing on the return of the Terra Shard-focused Blizzy Raid event? I don't know what any of that means, but you might, Anton, I don't know. It runs from April 21st through to the 23rd, alongside the Typhlosion Raids. This is all gobbledygook. Someone tell me what this means.
I have no idea. I just know people are excited about it. Do let us know on Twitter if you know what this means.
Oh, Concerned Ape has announced that there will be a Stardew Valley 1.6 update, which is massively unexpected as far as I'm concerned. It's focusing on changes that will be making it easier and more powerful to mod, but there's also going to be new game content. The Pathless is getting a physical release for $34.99 out now. Pokemon Go Pokemon Go creator Niantic has announced Monster Hunter Now, a real-world hunting action RPG game coming out in September of 2023. Nintendo hacker Gary Bowser has been released from prison. Nintendo's Switch firmware version 16.0.2 is out now. The bad lists word, has been expanded, and the SSL module, which is basically what handles a secure connection to servers, has been updated. And lastly, the Nintendo Switch online game trial will be, or the next one will be, FastRMX! Starting the 26th of April 2023. So, Anton, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, I'm personally very, very excited to see what the benefits of the Rovio Entertainment acquisition by Sega ends up looking like. You know, the team there are incredibly talented, but have only done Angry Birds. So I think, you know, Nintendo has this vast catalogue of IP. You know, Rovio has this very good IP that is saturated to market. You know, I think this is a perfect time to, you know, let Rovio, you know, do some games with some different IP. You know, Sega's had great success in licensing out some of their IP, such as Sonic, to have mobile games created. now they can do it in-house. And similarly, this may open the door for maybe a larger home console release of Angry Birds in the same way that Plants vs. Zombie made the jump. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer for Game Boy Color. Wasn't it fantastic, Al?
Oh, yeah, it was so good. It was a trailer of two parts as well. The first part was like this beautiful, wonderful little anime interpretation of the trailer, and I just loved that so much. And then it jumped into Game Boy Color versions of the game with a beautiful little Zelda theme song, and Anton, I was so happy watching this. You need to go and Google this. Go and Google Channy and Kimberly, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and Game Boy, because it's just, it's a work of art. There's no other way to describe it.
Absolutely. You know, so many different parts of that trailer could have worked in so many different contexts. They could have done the animation and that could have went viral. They could have done the 8-bit Game Boy Color pixel art, that could have went viral. You know, the music for both the anime and 8-bit sections could have just gotten tons of hits online. But as a complete package, it was very, very nicely put together. And then there's also a limited edition Game Boy Color they showed at the end. Incredibly well done. Do check it out. And then it's interesting to think of the alternate reality where Atlus did not get the rights to Megami Tensei and what went on to be basically every franchise they went on to make, you know, such as Persona and Shin Megami Tensei and, you know, all those different things. Catherine is a loose connection to that, you know, all of that under Nintendo. Oh, it would have never happened, sadly.
No, I think it ended up in the right place. You're spot on. Nintendo would have done that one a disservice, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, usually...
It's not often we say that.
Yeah, usually it's like, oh, God, can Nintendo just steal the Sonic IP and stop them from releasing bad games? Or, you know, usually Nintendo having the IP is like, okay, they'll at least look after it. Nah, in this case, I think Atlus were the right people for it. And then ending off on Sonic, I'm so excited for the Knuckles spinoff. Idris Elba was fantastic in that Sonic movie too. I am so excited for this. It's going to be great.
Well, there's only two other things I wanted to pick up on here. One was Gary Bowser. I quite like the fact that he's been released from prison, but he's now having to pay between 25 and 30% of his gross monthly earnings to Nintendo to pay off his debt of $10 million. So basically for the rest of his life, he's going to be giving Nintendo a quarter to a third of all of his income. I mean, silly boy. Very silly boy.
Yeah, it's... I won't lie, this has, like, real motivations to flee the country vibes. Like, that is just, like, a long burden. And, you know, that's kind of why we were thinking the 442,000 euros before for a company was quite a low fee in comparison to what this one individual got kind of handed with a ex-executor project.
Yeah, it's just nuts. And I think it's... I love the fact that Concerned Ape is putting out DLC, because I think he kind of hinted that he might do that down the line, but it wasn't his focus, because he's focusing on... I forgot what the name's called. Hotel Chocolatier. He's focusing on there, and he kind of said, yeah, that's all I'm focusing on. I'm not going to do anything Stardew yet. So for this to appear, that's kind of cool. I'm enjoying the fact that he's gone and just dropped a random bit of an update, and everyone's like, "What? Where did that come from?" Huh? And the last one I wanted to mention was the Monster Hunter Now. Again, I wasn't expecting that, and it's a really weird IP I would have thought for them to have picked, because they've done some pretty big things in the past, and Monster Hunter is one of these IPs I sort of feel they're forcing it on us, but nobody really wants it. I might be wrong, but I don't know anyone that plays Monster Hunter games. Do you?
You know, you're absolutely right. I know nobody that plays the Monster Hunter games, but they sell stupidly well. Like, incredibly well. The numbers on them are mad. And I don't know where all these people are. probably in Japan, but they sell well, really, really well in the Western world. And I just know nobody that plays them. So if you play them, once again, at NSUK Podcast, let us know. Because it's just, I don't know.
I want to know who you are. I want to know where you are. I want to know why you think they're great. I want to know who's playing them, because I genuinely know nobody who's ever played one at all. But now we're getting a mobile version, so that's kind of cool. Okay, that's probably it for Turbo Mode. Before we hit the hour mark, we're at 53 minutes already. Let's see if we can squeeze in some rumours, because there are actually a couple.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
First up, Leaker Tamakichi? I think, has shared that the Nintendo console, or the next Nintendo console, is going to share a release window with the PS5's mid-generation refresh, and that the Nintendo console launch will coincide with the launch of a Mario, Zelda, and Splatoon game. How much credence do you put in this? Because that sort of seems like a bit of a non-rumour, and I doubt they'd be releasing a Zelda, a Mario, and a Splatoon game all at the same time at the launch of a console, because that's not normally what they do.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very hard to believe rumor, this one. I heard, you know, I read a bunch of articles and people are like, proven leaker. I don't know what he's leaked in the past, but nevertheless, if this were to be real, the PS5 mid-gen refresh is a bit of a loose thing to pin things on. If it was to happen, you know, I would presume this is not a mainstay Zelda. This would maybe be like the next 2D Zelda, you know, kind of in between this and the next 3D one, because it's not happening in a couple months. We're getting a limited edition OLED, so it's not happening soon. That would be a surprise podcast if it did happen. I would love that podcast, but don't think that's happened. Also, Splatoon 3 is still a very, very new game, so this, I guess this would be pointing at that, you know, 2025, 2026 at the earliest.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I don't really feel that this one has quite the same level of credibility that some previous leaks we've had have had. But then again, they've all turned out to be wrong, so you never know, this one might well be right. I just can't see it, personally. Twitch streamer and Twitter user Nido17 has claimed that they've gotten their hands on Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and they got hold of it early, and they're warning of other users leaking the game, Anton.
Again, the rumour mill this week's a little bit nefarious. Again, I'm not too sure about this one. The leak they have done is of the icon on their home screen using the main hero art that we've seen before. But Nintendo hasn't been great at not getting their games leaked in the last wee while. Even Tears of the Kingdom, you know, it had the strategy guide leaked, it had the console leaked. It seems plausible that the game itself could get leaked, but I don't know how much credence there is here. I'm somewhat doubtful. I feel like they would leak just a teensy bit if they were genuine. Just a little bit,
yeah,
as a treat.
I feel if they had it, they would be putting something out there to prove it. Proof of life, if you will. There will be something. I feel that this is just someone looking for a bit of attention, frankly. And then our last rumour comes from a leaker who basically, I want you to say bless you after I say their name, Pikmin Sneezkov. I mean, what kind of a name is that? But sure, Pikmin Sneezkov has been cold messaging people at Nintendo on LinkedIn and claims to have discovered that Nintendo are indeed working on a Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remaster, Anton.
Indeed. Another quote-unquote established leaker. I would have loved some receipts for this one, but at the end of the day, this one feels possible. You know, Pikmin, it's been a while since we had the... Excuse me, not Pikmin. Paper Mario, it's been a while since we had the last one. It's been a while since we've had a really well-reviewed Paper Mario. The GameCube era is an untapped generation, and I think what we've seen with the Wind Waker remaster, simple graphics from that era, remaster really, really nicely. And this is, for many people, the best game in the whole franchise. Well, it is for almost all people. The best game in the franchise and one of the greatest games of all time. So I think this is... definitely got to be at Nintendo's, like, high up on Nintendo's list of games to just give a remaster to. It would just print money, because they're never, or at least at the current stage, not making a game that's going to be anything like this for a long time.
Yeah, it makes sense. This is almost a no-brainer one. You can totally believe this one. And the very fact that we've actually even got details about how they went about getting some information, the fact that they've said, oh yeah, I was cold messaging people on LinkedIn, I mean, that's such a random, weird thing to put in that you kind of think, yeah, this just has an element of credibility about it that nothing else that we've talked about so far in the rumour section has. I actually believe this one. I think we are going to get a remaster of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door. And that's awesome. And I think, it, as you say, it's going to print money. Lots of people are going to buy this. And rightly so, they should. Okay, 58 minutes. I think we're going to manage to keep this under an hour, Anton, because I reckon we can wrap this up in the next minute and 55 seconds.
Alrighty, on that note, if you want to support the show, do head to nsukp.co.uk/support-us. You can learn about the Patreon. It is just £2 per month, which comes up to £24 per year. You get access to the exclusive Patreon RSS feed. You get the live main podcast without advertisements, live recordings of the main show, bonus podcast Last Call, live recordings of Last Call, early show notes, Discord community access, shout out woohoos, personal friend codes, and our eternal gratitude. And keep in touch.
Exactly. And if you can't be bothered becoming a patron, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Feel free to leave us a review. That would be fantastic. We love reviews. They are very, very helpful. And if you can't be bothered doing that, but you do just want to tell me your thoughts, drop me an email, podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Okay, we've made it. Thank you very much for listening. On that note, I'm going to say cheerio.
Au revoir.